SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, SteveBick.com. The sun making a rare appearance. I had to actually close the curtain because if I don't, it's right for about a half an hour here. It's right in my eyes. So. But I'm. Believe me, it's the first time. I think I've touched the curtains in months. They may actually need to make their way to a washing machine. Frankly, it's not going to stop the races from coming off the turf downstate, though. They're off the turf today. Those two races, and I sent out that news earlier this morning when it came through. Races 2 and 4, they'll be a mile on the main track. Still some hope, though, that with, frankly, a decent forecast going forward here the next couple of days, there's some hope that Saturday and Sunday we could actually run some races on the grass. How nice would that be to finish the 2018 season? And it's just been so frustrating because you look at that grass course at Aqueduct, having taken out the inner dirt track and the big, beautiful turf course. And obviously, there's a long-term play involving that course that is going to be needed when the renovations begin at Belmont, obviously. So, it's not just for the Aqueduct racing season. Late fall and early spring, it'll come into play and be important as we go forward. And still, of course, waiting for those kinds of decisions and the timing. But it is inching closer. There's going to be a renovation at Belmont, obviously, at a certain juncture. Yesterday, since we're breaking out of the gate with Aqueduct, probably pretty appropriate given the card on Saturday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The Cigar Mile is really good, really, really good, and really well matched. The way you look at these one turn milers, including the return of Mendelsohn, who just can't stay away. Mendelsohn back again. The Derby, the Dwyer, the Travers, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Breeders' Cup Classic, and why not the Cigar Mile? What else has he got to do? And he'll make one more trip. He drew the rail for the Cigar Mile, and it shouldn't hurt him. He's going to be forward anyway, and the horses to his right, Sunny Ridge and Pat on the Back, they're not going to the lead, so Ryan Moore should be able down the chute, should be able to ease off the rail and find himself in a good position, depending on what happens further out. And further out includes the Windstar, China Horse Club, SF, and Head of Plains, Spitestown Colt, Coppertown, who has done very little wrong in the abbreviated career. He came back from that long layoff at Keeneland and won well. He draws midfield here, and you'd think that Castellano wants to gain some position, somewhere off of Mendelsohn, and then further out, horses like Timeline and Pattern Recognition. Certainly, we'll see how the two Chad Browns, who drew shoulder to shoulder, see how they deal with things. And of course, Johnny Velasquez gets a board timeline with Castellano sticking with Coppertown. And Jose Ortiz aboard Pattern Recognition, who, you know, does seem like he wants to be forward. I think there's a couple more options for Johnny, but Velasquez's inclination usually is to, you know, put a horse fairly close up. So stage is set, and it is really a fun group. You've also got Kieran McLaughlin with Calumet's True Timber, the four-year-old. He's had, you know, kind of a quiet. He's done fine. He's had a good year, but we really haven't seen him. I mean, the first graded stake visit from True Timber this year came in the Bold Ruler. He'd been kind of keeping, you know, a little softer company through the middle part of the year. Kind of interesting the way McLaughlin, I think, was kind of angling him into an opportunity like this. But the field lays out this way. Mendelsohn on the rail. Sonny Ridge, who is a hard hitter, and Sonny Ridge at his best is certainly, you know, certainly a player in here. Rad Ortiz back aboard. Manny Franco rode him in the Kelso. But Sonny Ridge draws the two, and he'll get pace to chase. The 5-year-old gelding, Dennis Drazen, homebred. He's amassed over $1 million now. That second in the Kelso made him a millionaire. Pat on the back, Maya Englehart for Harold Lerner and Partners. He's rock solid, the New York bred. Stan the Man, an interesting addition to this field. From Terra Nova and Long Lake, the Broken Vow gelding. And he makes a graded stake debut and dives right into the deep end. Eric Cancel aboard. Castellano and Coppertown. Midfield in the five hole. True Timber, Joe Bravo for Kieran and Calumet. Timeline, Woodford Racing, the Hardspun Colt. Third, most recently in the Kelso with Johnny and Jose Ortiz, Pattern Recognition on the outside. So that's a really nice group for the Cigar Mile, and they are well matched. And you got a little bit, you got speed, you got stalkers, you got off the paces, you got clay, you got everything. Everything you'd want in here. The rest of the day came up really nice, too. The two-year-old races, of course, and I did see the piece that Dave Grenig noted that the way things turned out, and with some horses that had been considered for the Remsen, Vekoma and Code of Honor, you know, if you went back 3-4 weeks, and the fact that neither one of them turned up, that actually, I think, enhanced what came together for the Remsen. But there are two obvious players that come together in here, and network effect for Chad Brown and Seth Klarman coming off the Nashua second to Vekoma and Maximus Mischief. They're on a collision course. And I mean, there's other horses in here, obviously, but this really comes down to network effect and Maximus Mischief, and it'll be very interesting to see. You got to assume that Frankie Pennington will, you know, go forward and move to the lead. There doesn't seem to be, I suppose, the Gargan horse tax on the outside. I don't think is fast enough to keep up, but it just feels like Castellano and Pennington will spar right from the bell, and this should be very interesting. And of course, in this case, both of them are making two-turn debuts to the mile and the eighth. The rest of the field, Jimmy Jerkins with a horse that has just come his way from Sid Attard in Woodbine, Jungle Warrior for Team Stronach and Animal Kingdom. This is a homebred out of nice Fleet Alex mare, Harissa. Jamie Mejia shows up with a horse that's 85 to 1. And I'm being generous. Chinamato, Bourbon War, and this is a Tappet Colt for Bourbon Lane and partners and Mark Hennig, the Tappet out of My Conquistadori. We talked about him when he debuted a couple of weeks ago, pointed him out, and he went up at a went off at a 17-1 and won like a 7-2. Bourbon War, Gladiator King, also from Mejia, and this is more of a horse that, you know, that does fit, coming up from Gulfstream West, and won a pair of, we got an allowance win and a maiden win. Pimentel signs on, and Gladiator King, then Network Effect, and Maximus Mischief, and Tax, your field of seven. For the Remsen, the fillies came up nice too, the Demoiselle. And here you've got the very famously bred Positive Spirit. This is the pioneer of the Nile filly that just broke the maiden at Churchill for Rudy Brissett and is the half to Always Dreaming and Hot Dixie Chick. Positive Spirit shows up in here. Molto Bella feels like the horse to beat for Ian Wilkes, coming out of the second to Mother Mother to Baffert in the Rags to Riches Breeders' Cup week. Javier Castellano signs aboard. And this one, the mile in the eighth, the question. Violence Philly out of the really nice Dr. Zick. You remember Dr. Zick? She was a very good 7/8 type. Won the Madison, probably. Madison? The Madison? Won the Madison, I think. The Madison. I don't think she won the Humana Distaff. I think she won the Grade One at Keeneland, if I'm not mistaken. Dr. Zick, Milwaukee Brew. The mirthfully named Philly Joel for Arindel, the homebred dialed in Philly. She's in here, coming off the Belmont Maiden Breaker. Down on the rail, probably the favorite, Enliven. This the Enticed Sister out of Wonderful It's Tricky. And you probably just listened to Sid Fernando talk to you about the legacy of Bob McNair and Stoner's Eye. Well, here you go. It's Godolphin bred, but It's Tricky. There you go. That's the family. It'll be in past performances for as long as they print them. That's even before we talk about what Frosted's going to do as a stallion and what Midshipman's already doing. This is the Stoner Side legacy. No doubt. No doubts about it. So, two terrific two-year-old races that are always intriguing this time of year. They haven't always been super productive when these two-year-olds become three, but we're not going to worry about that right now. There's also the Gopher Wand, and Marley's Freedom draws the rail. Drives Baffert crazy drawing the rail. She draws the rail. Browse in here for Shug. Sour, the nice one-turner. Going to stretch out first time to a mile for Linda Rice and Len Green, Benita Bianca, Jason Service, and Michael Dubb and his band of merry partners like Mike Caruso. Your Love, the nice Claiborne bred flatter filly for Paul Pompa and Chad, coming off the Gallon Bloom second. Tegal Alu for Mark Hennig. For John O'Connor, this is a nice allowance type, making her stakes debut. And Come Dancing, Carlos Martin, coming out of the Beldame, and also Pacific Wind for Chad as well. Has been competitive pretty much. He's cashed a lot of checks this year. The Ruffian and the Phipps, the Shuvi, the Spinster. So kind of, you know, look inside outside here pretty much for Marley's Freedom and Pacific Wind and Your Love. Should be good. It's a great card. There's maiden races to look at, allowances, and if we can stay on the grass, that'd be great, because the 5th and the 7th, nice allowances on the turf. Good card. The Hollywood Derby got drawn. We'll talk about yesterday, that pick six sequence we had fun with. Opening day at Turfway, including a bomb to start the meet. Just getting going. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
And when I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob, decided not to play along, so it grew bigger.
Coming up on 20 into hour one, and gonna head down to Florida in about 15 minutes and get a visit in ahead of the start of the winter season at Gulfstream. Jason Blewett gonna join us, and of course tomorrow, $88,000 Stronach Pick 5 carryover, and with Gulfstream not starting until Saturday, they had to confine the sequence to the two venues, in this case, Golden Gate and Laurel. So three races from Laurel, the 8th, 9th, 10th, and the 2nd and 3rd from Golden Gate. And it looks plenty tricky, but it's not 12 by 12 by 11 by 10 by 12. There's reasonably sized fields. And we'll touch on it with Jason, and then we'll look ahead to Saturday. And, of course, the Claiming Crown, which really has become kind of the nominal kickoff to the winter meet the last several years. And I think that it's got to be what? Maybe the fourth? At least the fourth, I would think. Maybe more. I've lost track. But the fields, those fields, we'll touch on those when Jason joins us. And nice to check in with Jason. So look forward to that. And then Tony Black. We've got plenty to talk about with Tony, including some more interpretation of stewarding and the way in which, particularly because of Tony's, the exercise that he went through gaining accreditation, and he went through the whole process, and so he can talk to that a little bit. And we also got to get caught up on Collegeville. She did not run well, and but she's back in Philadelphia, back at Richie Vegas, and we'll see what Tony can tell us. A lot of affection for that filly. Steve Haskin, catch up with Steve. He was away, of course, Nebraska, visiting the baby. Everybody loves the baby. And and then we weren't, we couldn't reach him for Thursday on Thanksgiving. So we'll catch up with Steve Haskin and much more this morning yet. Let's talk about yesterday. And before I talk about the Sequence and Aqueduct, which proved to be as slippery as we kind of thought, but not for, not really for the reasons we thought. The screwball right off the get-go yesterday at Aqueduct. Speaking of screwballs, how about the 43-1 shot winning the opening race at Turfway last night, and did it in exciting fashion. This was just a nickel maiden claimer, and Zach Short, a horse that he co-bred and he trains and owns. Very cool. Demisses, cute name too. This is a Daher filly that comes out of Indiana, and Zach Short bred the filly with Chris Doris. And how about this start, 43-1 to open the meet. So a nice $88 pop if you were tied on in here. And from there, things got much more sedate the rest of the way. You had a lot more predictability that set in. There were a couple other nice prices, and there was a nice smattering. I know John McKee, I saw, won a pair of races, but otherwise, I think things were really pretty well spread around. Mike Lauer won $7,500 claimer. And Wesley Ward won the feature. The feature was nice maiden special. And Alvin Jimenez nearly wire-to-wire, was fairly close up, and then took over and held on. And this with a Curlin colt, Thomas Shelby. So nice start to the season, and they don't report the numbers, but looked like they had a nice night at Turfway, and a great start to the meet, and certainly that Friday stake is meaty, the holiday inaugural. Meanwhile, in New York, and I got fully involved, and the opening leg. There's nothing more unsettling, frankly, than a gate scratch. It's one thing when a gate scratch happens, in the middle of a sequence, there's nothing you can do, obviously. You're going to eat the post-time favorite, and what are you going to... Well, when you get a scratch like we had with Market Legacy, a gate, you know, coming to the gate, what are you going to start doing? You're going to start canceling your pick six tickets and your backups? And I mean, it's just really maddening. And it's funny because I knew the minute that happened, I said, I'm going to get beat here. You could feel it coming. And I'm sure plenty of you know what I mean and what that experience is like. Sure enough, here we are mid stretch and you got a nice duel between the Albertrani 2-cent Tootsie and the rail horse, Winifred J, the Eddie Barker, and it's looking pretty well. By mid-stretch, it looks like, okay, it's going to come down to one or the other. And then you picked up the Graham Motion, first-time starter we mentioned and talked about, Little Song, and with a furious rally, Dylan Davis, and gets up and noses 2-cent Tootsie. By that point, Winifred J had relented under Junior Alvarado, who had a great day. Alvarado, I think he won three on the day. So if he had somehow prevailed with Winifred, he really would have had a monster day. But right away, you're on your heels. I used Little Song as a C, and I just thought, ugh, now what? And from there, the second leg is where pretty much everything hinged. And Robert, you know, I said to Seth Merrow, you know, Dennis Lauman is not going to go the calendar year without a win. And here it came. Robert, you know, who absolutely could win. I mean, I tried to lean heavily on Halloween Horror, who I thought really made a lot of sense in this spot. And I singled, and you know what are you going to do? He chased admirably, but was not going to get to Robert, who looked like a winner. As soon as he kind of made his way to the front, you could tell he was going to win, and he pays $2,360, which was instrumental at that point in making this pick six pay as well as it did, because from there things were very, you know, were pretty much clear. And some of those situations where we talked about, you know, getting away with one or two horses, two horses for the most part, came to pass. I'll tell you, the off the turf scenario, 9-2 on Yamano Maker. You got to be kidding. There were the way I look to me, the two big main track onlys were the only two horses that could win, Yamano Maker and Zealous. And somehow a bunch of money went to the Mark Hennig horse. Tough times. I didn't get it at all. I don't understand what anybody saw in Tough Times ahead of Yamano Maker and Zealous. I mean, it's certainly anybody that's a figure that uses figs, you didn't have any interest in Tough Times. So it came down to me, those two, and sure enough, and Yamano Maker was really strong. That was a big performance. I haven't checked the numbers, but you got $11 was like finding money in the street. The seventh race, that claimer, the 40 claimer, felt like there were three horses, and Mo Flash was strong here. Junior Alvarado sweeps the double between the sixth and the seventh. And this was Eddie Barker and big owner Danny Chen. Mo Flash, a little under even money, and he was bet, or she was bet, like she couldn't lose, and then she ran just like that. I used her, I used Gypsy Janie and Nth Degree. And Ethigree was a nice price and ran okay to be third. Mr. Buff, there were two horses, it seemed, that could, to me, that could win the feature. Mr. Buff or Hammer and Ammer. Mr. Buff was in control every single step. This race was over after a quarter mile. You could tell Mr. Buff wasn't losing. Paid $5.90. And then Big Guy Ian. Who was supposed to beat Big Guy Ian in here? There's another one I didn't, you know, so I was a little miffed as the day, as the thing went on. This just felt like one that got away, and whether it was a question of spending more money and getting, you know, the two of the trickier horses on the ticket, you know, for me, the scratch really, it all came down to that. I mean, if that horse scratches earlier in the day, you may have time to structure and get, you know, a different set of tickets in that would have had Little Song involved. You would have moved. Little Song was like the proverbial fifth horse. So I thought this was really a situation that, you know, you sometimes you look at them and you say, I never could have had this. This one, didn't feel that way. 28,000, and you know, for Pick Six players, this was really a worthwhile endeavor to get back 28,770 is basically what it paid. And the Pick Five, if you got Robert on your ticket, the Pick Five was over 1,000, paid 1,058 in the Naira Betts Pick Five, and even, you know, the Pick Four was $70, but got it with all A's, and so that was at least a small investment. I had that actually a couple of times, but it just didn't. This just was one of those sequences you say to yourself, you know, under a different framework, you're doing a jig. So good luck. You know, we'll get them next time. That's all you can do. And I got to tell you, this is why the $2 Pick Six, to me, I'm sorry, I it's the real thing, you know? I'd rather fight for those, you know, every 10 days or so, or, you know, a couple of times a month as Pick Six carryovers materialize. We're going to take a break right here, bottom of the hour. Fun day, though. It was a fun day. Enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed the exercise, as it were. You know, handicapping it, writing it up, and then playing. Sometimes you get to the end of the day, and, you know, even if you won a little money, it was like, this wasn't worth the effort. You know, you put all that time and effort in, and you think, I didn't. Was this worth it? Yeah, yesterday was worthwhile. It was worth taking the swings. We're going to swing down to South Florida and get Jason Blewett to say hi and start the winter season. Although Casey told me yesterday it was below 50, so Casey, has it gotten a little more seasonal? Seasonable? We headed in the right direction? No. Wow. Wow. So, in other words, mink coats in Aventura and Palm Beach. Yeah, the fur boots. Yeah, there you go. Those the furry hood. At least Jason's used to it. Although he made the transition to South Florida life very smoothly. Jason Blewett joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Listos.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back at the races.
Every time
golden brown, a very good intro selection, because you know, you watch the feed from Gulfstream, and Jason Blewett has got that, he's got that year round tan now. You don't have to worry about the winter setting in on you. Jason, good morning.
How are you, my friend? Long time no speak, Steve. Hope you're doing okay.
Doing great, and you're doing terrific down there. And we've come all the way back around, and Saturday, Claiming Crown kicks off the winter season. It's become the traditional season starter, basically, for the championship meet that will lead to Florida Derby and so much more, and Pegasus and the Eclipse Awards down there and everything. The season starts Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. Doesn't feel that long ago in a way. Many of us were watching Audible win the Florida Derby to close down last year's championship meet. But hey, the spring, summer, and fall went by pretty quickly here in South Florida. And you know, what can you say? I mean, the optimism is where it should be as we start the primetime season here at Gulfstream Park. And aside from adding a new Pegasus race, the 7 million Pegasus turf, you know, the Claiming Crown, the Classico, I mean, all of the trimmings and trappings of a, you know, primetime marquee meet, we're also really excited to unveil our brand new turf course that was completely done completely, right down to the base, and completely renovated throughout the summer months. And I walked it yesterday, and it looks like it's in tip-top shape. I think it's going to be great, and it's going to be able to weather the brunt of a lengthy meet. That, let's face it, I mean, when this building was renovated back in 07 and opened again, or the grandstand opened, the landscape here in South Florida was much different than what it is now, as far as one track basically being the backbone of year-round racing.
And it's a great point. And, you know, the philosophy, certainly, you know, when it comes to what PJ established and you know, what has gone forward, you know, the turf racing, you take full advantage. I mean, let's be honest. The bigger fields, they're competitive. Horse players love it. And, you know, you got a double wide. You can move around the, you know, the temporary rail. And, you know, that provides the opportunity to protect, you know, portions of it for particularly ahead of stakes days. And you know, we always focus, Jason, on Florida Derby lead up, and, you know, from Holy Bull to Fountain of Youth to the Florida Derby. But really, the turf stakes program, you know, particularly with what went on with a horse like Catholic Boy, it'll be just as important to watch what happens in races like the Dania Beach and the Palm Beach, etc., because the turf program is so strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where, I mean, you've got the best of the best, obviously, stable down here from the entire Northeast, and then you're pulling some top-class outfits from the Midwest, so it is nice. Everybody converges at Gulfstream Park. And, yeah, turf is where it's at, and obviously we run quite a bit of races, and many of them on the turf. And, yeah, McDermott, the three-year-old turf program, it's nice having a fairly extensive stakes calendar for those better horses. And, you know, as turf racing becomes, I think, even on a national scale, more prominent and more important with races in New York in the summertime, like the Belmont Oaks and Belmont Derby, it's nice potentially not only giving those horses a winter home down here, but maybe getting an inkling as to who might go on and do some pretty big things throughout the spring, summer, and fall calendar on the grass. So that's just one more highlight here as we settle in for a 4-month championship meet on Saturday with that claiming crown, which, I mean, I'm just about done with it. A couple more races to look at, because I've got to write my analysis on deadline this morning for the program and the website. And boy, 111 races, 9 entries scattered throughout the card. It's basically one 14 horse field after another throughout the day. It's pretty incredible.
And what's always fun about Claiming Crown is how the horses kind of converge from different places, and invariably you do get some heavy favorites, and you're going to have some strong players, but invariably on this card you also get a couple of surprises. In fact, in that sense, Jason, it reminds us of some of the New York bred showcase days, where you know, there's going to be, you know, heavy strong favorites that win, and then you get some 30-1 shots that, you know, that pop up.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm sure as far as what we will eventually see, who's going to the winner's circle, the types of payoffs. I mean, there are some legit short price contenders. But then, and the New York bred, you know, New York bred, those New York bred restricted stakes days, it's a great analogy. But the one little bit of different trait with the Claiming Crown is you've got shippers from all over the place. And that was the one neat trait and theme that kept reoccurring when I was doing the work on the card. You just don't see that kind of eclectic mix of horses from across the country, especially from even some of the, and I say this with peace and love, some of maybe the BC tiered tracks,
sure,
you know, where
sure,
you've got their best horses coming in and running for 110, $125, purses that these horses normally don't get to run for. So it is kind of a neat sort of very inclusive day, and it is nice seeing those real bread and butter backbone horses that, as time has gone on, and as much as I love the big days and, you know, the Justifies and the Great Horses, there's a part of me that still really, and even more so today, has a very, very soft spot for those hard-hitting, high-priced claimers, starter allowance types that can run every and do run every 3 weeks to 4 weeks, where some of those pretty boy grade one types will give you a handful of starts a year. We can really enjoy these hard-nosed veterans for what they give us, and they give us everything.
Yeah, and you know, looking through the Claiming Crown card, one name jumps out on a pretty steady basis in over half the races, Mike Maker. And we've gotten very used to Ken Ramsey focusing on these races with Maker over the years, but all of Maker's claiming clients are represented. I see Michael Wee. I see the Y Gods, not the Y Gods, the Wyckoffs with Three Diamonds. Ramsey, of course, as well. But it feels like Mike Maker angles a bunch of horses every year for this. He's involved in a total of six races. And so does Ron Paolucci. Luch has been a regular part of this. And in fact, yesterday, Uno Mas Modelo came up, and there he is as a major player in the Rapid Transit early on the card.
Yeah, that horse, and again, I picked against him, and it's a narrow... Picking against is the wrong phrase. I'm taking a cautious giant for a very, very mild upset. But Lucha's horse in the Rapid Transit is legit. We'll see if he can back up that big win at Churchill last time when he won a stake in the slop. We'll see how he does down here on a dry track, but a hard-hitting campaigner through and through. And, yeah, that's another, you know, mentioning Maker and the Ramseys and, you know, a guy like Jorge Navarro, who's got a gazillion horses scattered throughout Saturday's card. I'm doing a few pre-race, pre-day interviews this morning on the backstretch, and that's one of my questions that I think is pretty pressing. Is it's fascinating to me as a fan and a horse player looking at the blueprint that some of these bigger, say, claiming outfits have set out, where months in advance they are looking to find horses that they can claim mostly out of town and plug in into these stakes. It's pretty fascinating when you think how many steps ahead down the line a number of guys like Maker, Ramsey, and Navarro, and even Luch are pointing to this day. I mean, the preparation starts way, way, way months out in the summertime. It's pretty amazing to sit back and watch.
Well, and a guy like Ron, particularly, I mean, he will claim a horse. He's virtually looking at every set of PPs,
yep,
coast to coast, and he will pluck a horse with something like this in mind. And it's what one of the things that makes us smile about Luch. I look at a couple of these features, and a race like the Canterbury, the turf sprint that's going to go as the ninth, Jason, the 5-furlong turf sprint, always frenetic. And you know, there's a couple of horses in here we're, you know, really familiar with, and we've seen a lot in New York, particularly over the course of the year. And you know, a horse like Dowse's Beach for Jason Service and Michael Dubb, now
wow,
seven. I mean, he's a hard hitter. And how about Aqueduct Mike Tanuso with Rocket Heat coming down?
Yeah, it's great seeing Mikey doing well. I know for Flying P, he's obviously, and I don't get to watch as much New York racing as I used to, of course, but, you know, it's fun for me picking up the PPs and seeing some of these New York horses that maybe I haven't seen them run over their last two, three, four races, and seeing a Dowse's Beach and the fact that that horse is enjoying a renaissance. And yeah, I love seeing Mikey Tanuso doing well, obviously trying to build up his stable. But yeah, Mikey seems alive at a couple of races here on Saturday on the Claiming Crown card.
There's you mentioned about how horses are coming from all over, and you know, you look at a race like the Philly version, the girls turf stake, and Laurel, Parks, Indiana, that nice Oxford comma actually
right.
should be very tough in there for Tom Amos. Absolutely. Look at that. And,
he looks like a complete turf sprinting. And, you know, again, one of the other cool underlying themes with Saturday is it's pretty cool and awesome in a bunch of the Claiming Crown Stakes that you have last year's winners or the second place finishers. And in some cases, it might be the first three finishers from the 2017 runnings returning. So it is nice, again, when so many of those good horses, those top horses, seemingly don't run more than five times a year, and many of them don't start after their three-year-old season. It makes you appreciate the longevity that these Claiming Crown-type horses have, and you'll see that in spades because a bunch of horses that won stakes last year are coming back for potential title defenses.
Well, it should be a terrific day. And as I mentioned yesterday with Pete Fornatel, we've got a contest opportunities that the next couple of weekends. And you mentioned the Caribbean Classico, and that's next week, which has become now a fixture on the calendar. And then we look toward the start of the year, and whether it's Pegasus or the start of the three-year-old season, I give everybody the dates. The Holy Bull will be on February 2nd, the Fountain of Youth 4 weeks later on March 2nd, and then the Florida Derby March 30th. So circle the dates when it comes to the big weekends, and of course six or seven stakes all of those Saturdays, but the calendar seemingly set in stone these days, Jason, from Saturday through to April.
Yeah, it really seems to be the case. It's just one of the great traditions. Even before we were running essentially year round at Gulfstream, just this winter meet, the championship season down here has been set in stone since I cut my teeth as a young fan back in the early '90s, and I can tell you from following Holy Bull and De Hare and Ride the Rails during that 3-year-old crop, and then Cigar and Skip Away have always, like so many people listening to your show, have always looked forward to the winter months. Even if it was cold in the Northeast, you knew the racing would be just top class and terrific down in South Florida, Gulfstream Park.
Well, get started on Saturday, and even though we should also mention that even though you're not part of it Friday, the Stronach Pick 5, $88,000 carryover tomorrow, I'm going to go at it. Three races at Laurel, the 8th, 9th, and 10th, and the 2nd and 3rd at Golden Gate. And we haven't heard that it's going to stop. We weren't sure. Johnny D and I have talked about it weekly, Jason, and it seems like it's going to continue. So I would assume that Gulfstream gets into the swing next week for the Stronach 5.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case. Obviously, next week's sequence isn't out, but I mean, considering it's one of the flagship jewels in the Stronach Group racetrack holdings per se, I would imagine Gulfstream, until Santa Anita opens, will be sort of the anchor, having at the very least two races in each of the upcoming Friday Stronach Fives. And what will be really great is once Santa opens up the day after Christmas, to have Gulfstream and Santa during the winter, their respective winter meets, that will be a lot of fun. And, you know, we all love betting, or most of us anyway, really love quality fields, and I think we're going to get a ton of that. That's going to be a fun little interplay between Santa Anita and Gulfstream, at the start of the new year.
No, this has been for going back to the Magna 5 days, and Johnny D has been chiding me because I'm still calling it the Magna 5 because it just
right.
Stronach 5.
It's funny though, with Johnny D, I remember, and I always enjoyed reading, like the company, I guess, would take out a paid ad, which didn't look like a quote unquote traditional ad in the racing forum. And Johnny D, who's a he writes really well, and he's very clever too. It's kind of just an offshoot of his personality for sure. And I would always enjoy reading his recaps as to how he played and how he did and maybe the mistakes that he made in the weeks prior Magna 5. So it's a different name wager. Maybe the takeout's a little lower. But, yeah, we got a got a good thing going in the Stronach 5, and definitely want to thank all the horse players that have been wagering on it and playing it each and every week. It is definitely, I can say for myself, I really appreciate all the great customers.
Well, and you know, you've been doing handicapping videos. You haven't not a chance for one this week because of the focus on the start of the season. But the promotion has been terrific, and there should be a positive expectation tomorrow with an $88,000 carryover going in. And then after that, Jason, we'll be watching and wagering, looking forward to the way things unfold with all of the horses that made their way already down to. Whether it's the Palm Beach Downs and to Palm Meadows and to Payson Park, it certainly feels like there'll be a running start, and we're not going to have to wait long, for some of the 2 year olds becoming three that we're looking forward to feed into the into the heart of the winter. So we should be off and running. We'll have a fun with the Claiming Crown on Saturday, and then it's. Then it's the meat and potatoes of the winter.
Yep, and that's it. I hope, and anybody listening, including yourself, Steve, if you make it down here, and I hope that's the case, always feel free. Stop by. I love when, when it comes down to it, I'm just a lucky racing fan. I've always viewed myself that way, and it'll never change. So I am always happy and appreciative when people, especially during the winter months, it's cool running into people in the summer that, for whatever reason, maybe you're taking a trip south to Hallandale, but stop by the the studio tent outside the walking ring and say hi.
Without fail, and you can follow Jason, of course, on Twitter, Jason Blewett 30. And just a minute or two left, Jason. I mean, you really have found a home down there.
Yeah, it's I'm very proud of where I came from. But, in life, we learn from maybe past failures and change and all that stuff. So I've learned, all those silly cliches people tell you and stuff like that. I've learned that they're all basically true. And my wife and I are really happy living in northern Fort Lauderdale. And, it's crazy the way things just work out. It really... really is nuts. I landed in a great place again, very happy and proud of my past up in New York, but really have enjoyed the first year and a half of writing this this new chapter down here in South Florida.
Well, you're doing great, and we'll look forward to seeing you and checking in during the meet and handicapping and recapping, and should be a terrific winter. Best of luck to you and everybody that's involved, Ron and the team, and we'll see you probably in January.
Yeah, sounds good, Steve. Looking forward to it. And again, just want to thank everybody for supporting the product here year-round in South Florida, and hope to see many of you this coming winter at Gulfstream Park.
Jason Blewett, everybody. Follow Jason on Twitter. And, of course, as he said, is doing production work for the website, interviews, and those are available. He links them up as well. And then, the way he approaches the betting itself, and doesn't have a Stronach play for tomorrow, but he'll have plenty of action getting started on Saturday. Top of the hour upon us. Let's take the top of the hour break, come back, and appreciate Jason's visit. Going to check in with Tony Black. Got plenty to do with Tony. Steve Haskin in a little bit as well. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.